This morning, I'd like to begin with a story I read about a man who took a trip to Florida. He was looking for some nice, quiet time. Time to relax, to rest, walk along the beach, maybe enjoy a little swim each day. Certainly, he wasn't looking for any trouble. One day, as he was enjoying the sunshine, floating in the ocean, a man on the shore started to yell at him with great urgency, "Get out of the water! Get out of the water, quick!" Well, the guy did what would come naturally. He started to swim to shore as fast as he could, and as soon as his feet touched the ground, he ran out of the water with his heart pounding, and he made it to shore to look back to see a dark shadow that was lurking below the surface of the water. Breathless, he asked the man who had called out to him, "What was that? Was that a shark?" "No," the guy said. He said it was a saltwater crocodile, about 8 feet in length. I didn't even know such things existed. As if I needed another reason to stay out of some murky waters, you know. But apparently they are there, and they are one of the most dangerous creatures that you can encounter. And I share that story to say this, that while we might not be out looking for trouble, trouble, it seems, always has a way of looking for us. It's for that reason that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, some words of advice. He wrote, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." If there's one takeaway lesson that I could draw from this short passage of Scripture, it's that we need to be prepared. And that's really what I'd like for us to focus on this morning, that we need to be prepared. While you and I might not be out looking for trouble, trouble is most certainly looking for you. And so Paul writes, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." We need to be prepared because, whether we realize it or not, or like it or not, we are in fact up against what Paul describes as the devil's schemes. Now you might wonder, what exactly does he mean by that? What are the devil's schemes? And I believe the devil's schemes refers to the cunning, deceptive methods used by the devil. Probably the best single word to describe the devil's schemes is the word deception. Deception. According to John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus speaks about the devil as being a liar and the father of lies. He is a master at deception. I believe the devil's schemes are the lies and deceits that he puts in front of us. That is his primary method of operation, I believe it, through lies and deceit. Sometimes we don't give the devil enough credit, but sometimes we give him too much. There is much that Satan cannot do. Satan does not have power like God has power. Satan is not unlimited. He cannot do whatever he wants. He cannot read your mind or force you to do something that you don't want to do. There is no truth in the old saying that the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do anything. He deceived you into doing it yourself. That is Satan's power. A power to deceive. And deception is extremely effective. He is good at it. He'd get an A+. You and I might think that, you know, well, we're smart people. We're able to discern the truth from the lies. I've been around the block a few times. Come on. I'm not going to be deceived. But people are deceived every single day. Smart people. People with good intentions. And we see the evidence of that all around us. We see it when people's priorities get mixed up. When work comes before family. When leisure comes before worship. When money comes before principle. We are being deceived. When we see marriages break up. When people believe that the grass is greener in someone else's yard. We are being deceived. We see it when the Bible calls shameful lusts. Men after men. Women after women. We see it when children are neglected or abused at the hands of those who are called to protect them. We are being deceived. We see it when personal choice takes precedence over an unborn baby's life. We are being deceived. Satan's deceptions are all around us. And that is why. That is why it is so important that we question who or what we listen to in the first place, or where we go for that matter. We used to teach the little kids, be careful, little feet, where you go. Right? Anybody else remember that song? You know, where you go will lead you in a path. We need to be careful who we listen to. And yes, that includes me. You don't just take everything I say at face value, at least you should not. I appreciate that you trust me, but the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, they were commended because they checked up on what Paul had to say, on what Paul was teaching. Can you imagine that? If Paul was being checked up on, well, which was good, and they were commended for doing so. We need to be careful who we're listening to or what we're listening to even. And they checked up on Paul by checking what he said against what? The scripture. And so I say to you, and I say to our young people, it's great to have an open mind. I understand that, but we must be aware that there are some very real dangers when we open ourselves up to ideologies and thinking worldviews of this world. Satan's schemes, and he is good at it, is to deceive us. And once we begin to even entertain the ideologies of this world, we are in danger of deception. No matter how smart you are, no matter how careful you are, That is why sometimes it's better not to even listen to certain things in the first place if they are clearly against God's word. There is no discussion about it. We need to be careful. I recently read a quote from Beckett Cook in an article in Boundless Magazine, a publication of Focus on the Family. And this is what he said. We have it online here. He said, "The influence of the world is more powerful than ever in history. That is why it's incredibly important to meditate on the law of God day and night. We are either giving into the pressure of the world or the pressure of the word. And right now, the pressure of the world is overwhelming, which makes reading our Bibles all the more important. We need to have our minds renewed every day. Otherwise, we fall into the trap of believing the lies of the culture." Friends, it's happening all around us. But God's word will guide us in all truth. We need to stay close to God's word. As the quote said, we need to have our minds renewed every day by God's word. Regardless of how innocent something looks in the world's eyes, regardless how much we are told it is harmless or that it is the way to go, if it is contrary to God's word, it must not be entertained, or we can be deceived. Another thing we can do, which is very helpful to avoid being deceived, is to stay close to one another. And that's one of the functions of the church. That's why we are here. That's why we come together, because we need each other. We are better together. We are stronger together. We are less prone to go off on the wayside when we are together. Look at Adam and Eve. When did Satan tempt Eve? When she was away from Adam. When they were alone, when one was apart from the other. When we are alone, that's when we are the most susceptible to being deceived. And so one of the things we can do, and that's why it's so dangerous when I hear people say, "Well, I don't need the church. It's just God and me. God and me." And yes, I know it's God and you. I can't save you. The church can't save you. I can't do anything for you. But together, we can keep one another sharp. We can keep one another on track. We can help from being deceived. The more eyes there are, the less likely we're going to fall off course. We do need each other. It's the same with children. Children and youth need their parents to guide them, to guide them along. Today's Father's Day. This is our responsibility to teach, to guide, to impress the truths of God upon our children so that they are not led astray. Children, Scripture says, need to obey their parents. Very fundamental fact. But even as adults, we need to be careful. We need to listen to our elders, right? You ever heard that? Listen to your elders. There's truth in there. Because they've lived through it. They've lived through experiences. They have knowledge that we don't have. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you can find somebody 10 or 20 years older than yourself to be a mentor to you or to be a guide to you, to be a help to you, you do well. We do need to listen to our elders And I will say that this church, in my mind and heart, we have a high priority and a place for elders. We want to listen to you. We need you. It's the enemy that fills us with pride and tells us that we don't need to listen to anybody. We have all the answers. I don't need anyone. Deception is a bit like cancer. It doesn't care who you are, what you do for a living, how much money you have, how smart you are, or even to a certain point, how careful you are. It is entirely possible for us to be deceived. Your enemy is very real. His power is in deception. And again, that is why Paul wrote to the church. This is written to the church. He wrote and he said, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not against people, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're up against the battle. And all the forces of evil are up against us. Our protection, according to Paul, is in the next verse, verse 13, where he says, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. It's not if the day of evil comes, it's when the day of evil comes. It's not a question, it's a certainty. It will happen. And looking around us these days, it seems to be happening every day. When the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 puts it another way. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's looking for someone to eat up. He wants to eat you for dessert. We need to be alert. We need to be alert, friends. Deception is very real. Doesn't matter how strong you are, doesn't matter how careful you are, doesn't matter how smart you are, it is far too easy for us to be led astray. And so as we really come to a close this morning, I want to summarize how we can be prepared and alert. And you've already heard this, but let me summarize it. Number one, be rooted firmly in the Word of God. There is no way to emphasize this too much. God's Word is essential to our survival as followers of Christ. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. We need to be rooted firmly in God's Word, so that when we hear whispers that are contrary to the Word, it is very obvious that we don't want to have anything to do with that. That was number one. Number two, and that kind of goes along with what I just said, don't even bother listening to sources, ideologies that you know are contrary to the Word of God. Don't put yourself in that position. You will be vulnerable. Satan is a master of deceit. And any chance he gets, he will devour you. Be careful who or what you listen to. Not all sources are equally valid. And some, carefully, need to be avoided altogether. Third, stay close to those who you trust, those who are in your life, in your church, who are in line with God's word, parents, elders, others that you know and trust. Stay close to them. Satan would have us tear apart from one another, because when we're apart, that's when we are more susceptible to being deceived. Stay close to those who are part of your life. They are there to guide you. They are there to help protect you. You might not always like it, but it's the best. We need to be humble. Usually we respond with pride. Don't tell me that. I know what to do. But we need to be humble and listen to our elders, our leaders, our parents. Again, provided that it's in line with God's word. Be rooted in God's word. Don't even bother listening to sources that are contrary to God's word. Stay close to those who are there to help you. And finally, be prepared through what the Bible calls the full armor of God. And we didn't go through that this morning. We'll go through it another time. But the following verses in Ephesians chapter 6, from where we left off, talk about the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and there it is, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. These are all tools that we have that we're able to stand firm. And so, my friends, being able to stand firm is not a matter of luck or coincidence. It's a matter of being alert and well prepared in God's word, with God's people, and most certainly with what Paul calls the armor of God. The good news is that you can stand firm. You can resist the devil and he will flee from you. And friends, if there is any area in your life where maybe you have followed a lie, it's never too late. It's not too late to turn from that. Ask God to open your eyes. Maybe that's what we should do as we close this morning, to take a moment to ask the Lord to show us if or where we may have slipped off track. Let's do that. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you today, Lord, confessing just how much we need you. We need your presence in our lives, Lord God. We need your protection against the schemes of the enemy. We need your Spirit, Lord, to guide us in the ways that we should go. Father God, we most certainly need your word to lead us in all truth. And Father, we also confess. We confess, Lord, our failure. We confess, Lord God, the times that we have listened to our own heart instead of listening to your word. We confess, Lord, the times that maybe we have done things the world's way instead of the word's way. And Father God, when we stray from you, Lord God, we find ourselves caught in that deception of the enemy. Lord God, we take a moment just now to ask that you would check our hearts, Show us, Lord God, if there is any area in our lives that we have maybe slipped off track, where we have maybe allowed the enemy to blind us in some way, when we've allowed our own lusts, our own passions, our own desires to stray us from the truth, our own pride. Show us, Lord. Speak to us even now and forgive us. Draw us back to you, Lord God. Give us your strength. Give us your spirit, Lord God. Give us your presence. Walk with us day by day. Help us, Father God, to live for you, to stand firm in you, to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we thank you for what you are doing. We thank you. We praise you for your faithfulness, for your patience, for your love. And we pray that your grace may go with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.